It's time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the second funniest podcast. I'm your host, Justin Wersch. This is episode 442. And with me, as always, is the one, the only, that Rakuten to your Takuten. The one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Rinse and repeat.
Yes.
What would you do if you knew that everything we've recorded thus far this evening has been off the board on your Mac instead of through these mics? Would you be sad?
What do you mean?
Well, like, sometimes we think we're talking into the mics and really we're talking into the Mac.
Oh, I see. Like, oh. I would be all right with it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it would be funny because
I think that's what's been happening. No, I'm just messing with you.
You're scaring me so much. That would be impossible for that to happen because I'm plugged into the recorder. But evidently, the two beers helped me believe that.
Yeah, that
as
now
being
you're
a possibility. I've been slightly distracted these past three shows because of this super nice microphone that Daddy has.
It's been pretty great, and everybody's still excited to hear about it.
And nobody cares. Nobody cares but me.
Today is our good friend Jeremy Carso's birthday.
Happy birthday, Jeremy Carso.
July 3rd. Happy birthday. Or no, that was yesterday. That's right. This comes out on Wednesday.
Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July.
Wow, Independence.
That was close. We almost missed that.
Yeah.
Happy 4th of July. Let's discuss something very close to my heart in relationship to our freedom here within this country.
I'm listening.
What do you think the rating is of our show?
What do I think the rating is? Mm-hmm. PG-13.
Now, what about in ESRP terms?
Oh, let's see. Can I pull up the...
Yeah, I'll tell them to you right now.
Okay, good. ESRP rating.
We have children, early. The lowest rating you can have is an EC, early childhood. titles rated EC have content that may be suitable for ages 3 and older.
Mm-hmm.
Contains no material that parents would find inappropriate. Now, here's the interesting part. The next one is E for everyone. So how?
Well, that would imply even early children
can enjoy it. So yeah. I don't know how that happened.
Well, I'll tell you what it is that we have now learned that if you are under the age of 6, you are not a real person and can also be subject to slavery.
There it is. I know I'm a slave.
Mm-hmm.
Titles that are rated E for everyone have content that may be suitable for 6 and older.
Mm-hmm.
Titles in this category may contain minimal cartoon fantasy or mild violence and or infrequent use of mild language.
Ooh.
I assume that means like poop. I'm serious. What's interesting about this, because I'd love to know the history of the... Because I know E10 is new, and I feel like EC is pretty new. So I feel like they did E, and somebody's like, my 4-year-old can't play these E for everyone's games. This is wrong, and I'm going to sue the ESRB. And somebody's like, okay, we'll make the EC. Then there's E10. Which is titles rated for, have content that may be suitable for ages 10 and older. Titles in this category may contain more cartoon fantasy, or mild violence, mild language, and or minimal suggestive themes.
Mm, two scoops of raisins.
Do you think there's sexual suggestive themes?
Yes,
like what would be a suggestive themes? I just meant in general, like what would be a suggestive theme? Suggested to what? Sexual?
Well, I think that game has a teen or a mature rating, but there is a where you see chicks watching you find like the goddess of love on God of War.
Oh, yeah.
And you go up to her and there's an option that you can say, yeah, let's get down and dirty, big mama.
Yeah, that's not E for 10.
Oh.
That's not E10. That's an M rated game.
See, this is why I'm the wrong person to ask for
this. No kidding.
Things. I have a bad filter.
All right. So, but our show, the SFP, is not E10.
Mm-mm.
Not high enough in terms
I think we need to go a little higher.
Okay. T for teen.
Mm-hmm.
Rated T for teen. Why I never got cast doing that, I'll never know. It's pretty good, right?
You did amazing.
Tomine
Sikoroa. What? I was like, how did you learn T for teen in Japanese? And why did you say that 3 episodes ago?
Titles rated T for teen have content that may be suitable for ages 13 and older.
Mm-hmm.
Titles in this category may contain violence, suggestive themes, crude humor, minimal blood, simulated gambling.
We do bleed occasionally on the show.
Simulated gambling. That gets you a T rated. And or infrequent use of strong language. Infrequent use of strong language. That's like poop and then not again.
So you define poop as being mild language.
Oh, I'm sorry. So it'd shit.
Be, yeah.
And then not again. I don't feel like I've heard shit on a T game.
Now we've already beat our T because you used it too
much. What are we now?
Well, let's find out, I think.
Let's keep going.
I think we've got to mature.
Titles rated M for mature have content that may be suitable for persons ages 17 and older. Titles in this category may contain intense violence, blood and gore, sexual content, and or strong language.
Oh, that's not us. I think we're a teen.
You think we're teen?
Yeah.
Really? Not. Yeah. No, I mean, we
I
don't
like
have a lot
to,
of blood,
I like
gore,
the idea.
Violence.
Yeah.
But we have not avoided sexual content, and we have pretty strong language. You've gotten pretty dirty before.
Yes.
How about the next level?
I like to think that it's innuendo and not completely
suggestive.
Blatant.
Suggestive teens. Poopy. that's the mild suggestive teens for E. Poopy. It's suggesting poop, but not really saying it.
Yeah.
Adults only. The infamous adults-only titles are rated AO and have content that should be played, see, moral imperative, should only be played by persons 18 years and older, because at the moment you turn 18, you can handle poop. Titles in this category may include prolonged scenes of intense violence and or graphic sexual content and nudity.
Nudity in a video game.
It's happened.
Well, I know it's happened, but I always think it's like there's a part of me that feels like nudity in a video game isn't real nudity.
It's not real nudity.
Yeah,
it's not. All right, and then there's one more.
There's got to be some guy who's drawn Carmelita nude, and like you know, I've been like, yeah, let's do this.
I guess I don't understand it. I don't understand. Like, you knew dudes in high school. Maybe you knew them. I knew them. They're, like, drawing porn in their notebook and stuff. And, like, really? Does this help you? Like, how is that at all a sexual release for you?
I don't know.
I do not advocate, but I understand the watching of pornography. Drawing cartoon characters doing things. I live in a real world.
Yeah, you're right.
Like,
it's hard to...
I can't wrap my head around it.
It's hard to figure
there's
out.
One more. RP, which I was like, there's one called rape. What is the? We do not have the rape lady.
Well, that's where it's violence and sexual content combined.
Well done. Titles designated with the RP rating pending have not yet been assigned a final ESRP. This icon appears only in advertising, marketing, and promotional materials related to the game that is expected to carry an ESRP rating. The RP is replaced by the game's rating once it has been assigned. Now, do you think we have that one?
That's us, right there.
That's it. Nailed it.
We only use it for purposes of marketing because we're not a real game.
No, I think we're teen. Really? I think we're mature.
Really?
Brim. Yeah.
On the brim of mature? We're almost
I don't think we
only?
Are mature. I just think that the show's content is for the mature.
I push our show into being mature is that I do think that teens know a lot more than what the society wants to give them credit for, if that makes sense.
Say that again.
I think that teens know a lot more than society wants to give them credit for. So, for instance, they act like they have to protect them from sex and things like that. Yeah. But in actuality, it's already like the stupid argument that if you give kids condoms at school, that then they will just have sex more often. Like, I don't, that's not a determining factor. If you want to eliminate kids having sex as teenagers, then there needs to be more of an emphasis on your moral imperative, I would say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then secondly to that, you would have to greatly decrease the hype about it. Because I used to, for a second, I thought I was going to say like the sensation, but you don't know what that sensation is until it happens. So what is it that makes a young person go, this is what I have to do. Mm-hmm. I have to do that. And I used to think it's a desire to be treated like an adult or to feel like an adult, but I don't even think it's that. I think it's a curiosity. And so maybe Baby, baby.
Did you lose track of what you were saying?
No,
the file kind of skipping your brain then?
No, I don't know why, but I flashed to Justin Bieber in an RC car.
Baby.
I think that you need to give your teen an adults-only video game. And when we start hooking people up, then they could realize that the sensation is nowhere near the hype. The hype is way overdone. Am I digging a hole here?
Not at all. No, I agree. Having been a 32-year-old virgin when I got married, now we're definitely a mature show. Here we go. Yes, sex with my wife is awesome. Right. I love it. It's fantastic. And then we don't go very long without it.
Yeah.
But there are many times where in the middle of the act, I have to mentally remind myself, this is that thing that I've been crazy for 20 years. I'm doing that thing right now that I was like, and really, it's just sort of a prolonged, awesome push up.
Now we just went RP.
This might be the last episode. I might have
radio edit. Here's the thing, because I do think that there's an underlying tone of this show that sometimes, occasionally, like in this particular instance, touches on subjects that I think parents don't talk about. That I wish would have been explained to me. There is, it's funny that there's actually a listener to this show that also listens to my dad podcast that has said, you know, I've heard you guys talk about how afraid you are to have teenagers. And that...
Can you stop that? Is that like a choice you can make?
Yeah. But
adoption!
I'll take you in at 21.
Oh, no, I mean you put them up for adoption.
Oh, I see. But so... He said that he goes, I think you should have a teenager on to kind of share their perspective, which
that's an interesting idea.
It's awesome. I've been going back and forth with him, and I'm really excited about it. I would share his name, but I don't want to say anything that he wouldn't want me to share under his identity. But one of the things that I thought was interesting is that I totally blanked on it. Because I had a point that was coming at it from the angle of this show is that it's true in that, how to say this? They like you have this own your own little curiosity about things, and you want to do. You remember what it was like when you were that age, and how you can't force the perspective and the wisdom that you've achieved at even say 25 into a 15-year-old's brain. Like there's just no way to do that.
Biologically, they're not capable. A 15-year-old is not capable of processing things the way a 25.
Really.
Yeah.
Biologically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a whole study on it. I watched a whole thing on it about how the brain is physically, the cognitive reasoning part of the brain is not electronically attached to the rest of the brain. So the ability to make decisions and reason things out is not getting the proper amount of attention. So
synapses firing.
That's why 15-year-olds behind the wheel of a car is biologically a bad idea. Because they're just not physically capable of not 100% all the time.
Interesting. That makes me think that that's where the mortality imperative comes in, and that the whole idea is that as you get older, you become more and more aware of your mortality, and it stands to reason then that it's because the cognitive reasoning in your brain is becoming more and more active.
Yeah,
and you kind of start going, "Hey, wait a minute, this could all end like that."
Yeah, you begin to realize. Yeah.
Whereas when you're 15, you're like,
when you're 15,
I don't think
also
I could die.
For 15 years, you've had somebody. If you've been loved and cared for, you've had a lot of things handed to you.
Yeah,
like you kind of just exist. It's not like you have to go out working to get food.
It's a weird thing. I saw my nieces and nephews go through it, and it's a weird thing to watch them just literally change. And I know that we have teenagers listening to the show. I don't want to sound insulting to you or whatever, but it is a weird thing to watch a person that you saw grow up from a child and then just turn into this person who has this kind of like F you attitude.
Yeah.
Like I got it all figured out, and to literally say I got this. While doing something, like it's the equivalent of
that's the hormones kicking in.
It's the equivalent of making cereal into a cheese grater and saying, "I've got this. I know what I'm doing."
You know, not an expression I've ever heard before, but very aptly put.
That's what I do. That's what Daddy brings to the table.
That's what you bring to the table. Besides all this gear.
That is what you bring to the table. That was awesome. That's it.
We've been talking
so many years.
So I was talking to a developer. We'll call him Nate Fox.
I love it.
And he once said, AO, what games are AO? Are there any
that's
actually...
what my question was.
So they exist, at least according to Wikipedia. And some of these names are pretty bad. I'll only tell you the ones that are referential, meaning that you can actually reference them, that they exist somewhere else. The Joy of Sex.
Oh.
There was a game called The Joy of Sex.
That's a book. AO. That's what my dad recommended that I look at. I became active, if you would.
Oh, Manhunt 2 was a PC game. It got the AO.
Manhunt is a game that deserves that.
Yeah.
I've played that.
Have, and it's blood and gore, intense violence, strong language. Oh, it has sexual content as well, use of drugs. What was the game like?
I know I played the original Manhunt. I don't know that I played the sequel. It's for PC. That's why. Yeah. The original Manhunt was available, I want to say, on either PS1 or PS2.
Yeah, it's probably.
And, the idea of it was that you were somehow wrongly accused of some crime and were sentenced to the death penalty, and some huge mogul guy bails you out to be a part of his TV show. And he has this huge lot of land. We'll call it Nebraska. And no, I'm kidding. But that's an old Carlin joke, was that he was like, he wanted to take death row inmates and kick everybody out of Nebraska because he's like, what good is that state? And then fence it off and then put all the different criminals in different quadrants. And then every once in a while, and put cameras up everywhere, and every once in a while, open the doors in between the two just to see what happens. And make it a pay-per-view show. And jails would never cost us a dime again, was his idea. But anyway, it's that kind of concept where it's like you navigate through these worlds that of gangs that are essentially engineered by this guy, and you have to sneak. You have to hide in the shadows and come up behind these guys because all you have are melee weapons.
Uh-huh.
And the kills in this game,
like swords, or like even more brutal,
more like
weapons?
Bats, bats and rocks, and I think like an axe, if I remember correctly. Oof. And it's like
an axe in terms of like murder weapons. An axe is a brutal weapon because that is not a one hit kill.
Yeah,
like do you think your buddies with him, Lacey Peterson's killer, mm-hmm. did he use an axe? Is that what his deal was?
I don't know if that was ever divulged, but. Yeah.
I imagine.
It was probably a hatchet.
What else did he have on hand?
Flint.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was just a dude.
We know he had bleach.
You can't sever a woman's head with bleach.
Well, there was, not to get too AO on this, but.
We're already there. That's why. Why do you think I'm walking through this door? I want to hit them all. We're going to do drug references next.
Because there was a misunderstanding that they thought that maybe sharks had done a lot of the damage when her body washed ashore.
Oh, really?
Like they don't know exactly how he killed her. They have theories, but they couldn't figure it out exactly because they couldn't delineate whether or not it was done by, you know, fish or sharks or anything.
Oh, it was
animal.
That she was that tore up.
It was pretty bad.
That's so sad.
So, but in Manhunt, like one of the worst things I remember is that if you have a bat, usually it's a bat with a shard of glass in it or nails, and you know how you have like a 3-hit combo and like you'd do like jab and then hook and then uppercut. Well, in Manhunt, it would be this thing where you'd hit. And then the guy would go down to his knees, and when you hit the attack button again, in some cases, the guy would just be groggy and on his knees. You would lift his chin up tip of the bat and then just swing for the fences, and it would just explode in, like, this bloody gore. And I'm not easily, like, queasy at all, but I just remember going, oh, man, this is really walking a line for me. Like, this is like, and I always, and this is also what always proved my argument that violence in video games does not beget violence in real life. Because I played this game and it had the opposite effect of me on me. I wasn't like, whoa, like excited. But at the same time, I wasn't completely like, oh, this is not okay. This is horrible. Who does this? Because I'm like, this is just a game.
Yeah.
Like, I get what they're doing. What they're doing is they're trying to shock you.
Yeah.
So you just, like, that's what it is.
Well, because there's a bunch of, there's not a long list of these games, like Wet, The Sexy Empire. You know, you get it. You know what they're doing.
I like the ones that make no sense. Indigo Prophecy Director's Cut.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, good. Leisure Suit Larry's on there. That's the one I was hoping would be on here.
Leisure Suit. Yeah, that was the one we talked about, right?
Yes.
Magnum Cum Laude, yeah. Uncut and Uncensored. So, but then there, on the same Wikipedia page, you can find this yourself, are a list of different things that were AO that got bumped down. I did a quick little research on how you get an AO or how you get a rating at all. Mm-hmm. And if your game cost $250,000 or less to develop, you submit the game and pay $800, and then they find the rating for it, and then you get the little slap on it. And then if you don't, where did I lose that? If it costs more than $250,000, where was the rate? It cost $4,000. So if you spend more than $250,000 to
That's
get the rating.
Jump.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's to protect the small independent developers. But that's kind of a big mark on the line, right? If a game is more than $250,000 to make, they've got $4,000 in their budget to spend on this.
I did play Manhunt 2. It says right here, PlayStation 2, Wii, and PSP. A PC port had been officially rated AO, though.
Is that what it's... Because then a lot of games, it looks like, get a certain rating initially, and then they go back... You know, and you
well,
get an
AO.
Well, it
seems
AO,
to be like
they,
when they put it on a console, they get it downgraded.
Oh yeah, because they probably want it. They want it more accessible. If you put it on the console, you're gonna water it down to get the lower rating on it because mm-hmm. you don't want an AO. AO on a PC, not bad. And so what I was saying is that I now know for sure that there are a ton of games. It shocks me that there can only be a small list of games with sexual or graphic content out there. And these are only the games that have gone through the process of submitting and getting review and mm-hmm. getting the number they want. Why would you want an AO rating for the rare marketing angle that you could get on it for something like Manhunt or Wet the Sexy Empire?
Yeah.
I feel like you were going to buy that whether or not it said AO on the front.
Right.
You knew what that game was
kind
about.
Of, I think isn't that everybody's argument against the rating system in general, and that it's intended really for parents to help protect their kids.
Well, I was checking that out as well. It was a kind of a self-created entity in 1994 because there was, what we've talked about on the show, a lot of people pushing that video games are violent. They're just getting more and more violent. And, you know, 1994 was probably the end of the heyday of like the PlayStation era, PS2 games where like things were getting... Games like Manhunt were starting to show up, so the government and them worked together. The industry actually pushed for this rating system. And this is kind of unusual within the media of things because every other media that's come about has had a government enforced or like a mandated you need to come up with a rating system.
Yeah.
So the gaming industry was just smart enough to go, we can't get away with this forever. Let's build one on our own terms. So we read through all those ratings. One of the initial ratings was KA, kids through adults, which is such that now is E for everyone.
Yeah.
But like that, this thing, somebody was like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Kids through adults, you need to make that a little more specific.
Because there are parents that fast forward through the scary parts
exactly.
of Disney movies, and then there are my parents.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That
don't care either way. And then there are parents that are like, oh, well, you're not 13, so you're not going to get a teen.
Did you know there's a chapter one? There's a chapter before chapter two in Finding Nemo where you see Nemo's mom?
Why would you do that to all these poor people?
That's from The Simpsons. I didn't come up with that. Still one of my most favorite bits.
You know what's funny is I skip that part often, not because it's scary or sad, but it's just uninteresting to your child.
Like, I think so.
Yeah, that it's just like, oh, let's get to the movie.
I wonder if that's their attempt to like, we're trying to push the edge. Because in a few more movies, a character's going to bleed.
Every Disney movie is always, and kids movie, it's always had that weird dark element that seems unnecessary. That's like why can't it just be funny? Like, why can't you just be quirky and kooky and
I think because it creates depth. I'm a big believer in that.
Right,
in
but
that,
do you think, though, that they honestly need it? Do you honestly need to see... I mean, I guess it provides... Because here's the thing. People watching Nemo, you could get that he's just a helicopter dad
yeah.
without having to see that his mom died and of the 300,000 children, this was the only one.
Yeah, well, a screenwriter would tell you that it creates emotional imprint on mm-hmm. you. So it creates it raises the stakes in improv terms. Like it gives you something to...
It's easy for me to say having seen it.
Yeah, it's an emotional connection because if it's just a dad, nothing's really at stake. But to see that initial scene where the two couple is in love and the dreams that they're going to have, you know why that father cares so much to chase after across the globe.
Well, I think it also, you're right in that it also keeps the dad from not looking like an a-hole.
Yeah.
Like, because if he's just a helicopter dad, like, why is this guy such a jerk?
Yeah. But it's
just let his kid do his thing.
It's well balanced. Where I'm glad we're talking about this, because Cars does the same thing. Like, that movie, we should go back and reconsider it as an Academy Award winning nominated film, because it does such a great job.
When you say Academy, you mean our personal Academy between you and I?
Yeah. Because the Oscars don't
care. Already moved on.
Yeah. They, because they do such
a
great job.
Much like our E3 coverage, we're 5 years. Yeah.
This movie is incredible. Well, we didn't have a podcast back then. No, they do such a great job of establishing the character, Owen Wilson's Lightning McQueen, and building the character in. And it, despite the fact that it's a cartoon talking car, it's like a pretty fleshed out, reasonable, real character. And in terms of arc, like the end of that story, when he stops and goes back and pushes, like that car, that character went through a journey that I think most screenwriters, most storytellers would love to be able to craft a narrative like that, because it's never forced. It just naturally arcs on its own and comes to a place where...
I heard somebody complaining about Brave recently, and I was shocked because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But I was shocked that they were like, oh, it's horrible, and it's so long, and the kids were bored.
Really?
And I'm like, I think, though, because she's in charge of a preschool, and so she took the preschool to
a whole preschool?
Yeah.
Well, that's not fair.
Right.
That's not a good example.
Exactly. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, because in my head, I was like, that's shocking to me that Pixar, because I'm sure that nothing is perfect, but Pixar has a damn good track record.
Well,
yeah.
That's what I wanted to talk about next.
Oh.
Cars 2.
Yeah.
Was a terrible movie. It was Pixar's first and maybe only flop. Mm-hmm. We'll see how great Brave does or doesn't do. But they miss all the same beats, and it's because you make Larry the Cable Guy your hero.
Is it the idea? Yeah, but see, that's the thing, though. I don't think Cars 2 is an unfair representation of Pixar, because Pixar originally was like, we don't do sequels.
Well, now they half their movies are sequels,
right?
So I don't think that's
But hold on,
and then Toy Story 3 is one of the best movies they've ever made.
So, and that's what I think, though. I think, to me, I don't know. I wish I knew. I was in the room, but it's like this is. But here's the thing. This is, I guess, what I'm more speaking to is the credibility that Pixar has earned.
Yeah,
is that when I see Cars 2, I'm like, yeah, that must have been some execs in suits at Disney going, no, we're gonna make Mater the show, because nobody cares about Owen Wilson.
No.
It's not the fact that he just spent. Let's not forget the fact he just spent 3 weeks in Cedar Sinai because he tried to off himself.
Aww,
so let's not
too
get
soon.
Well, that's what we do. We shoot the truth.
They went through several. I think we talked about it in the show. They went through several iterations of that film. They warped it. They developed it. They massaged it. They had characters that they had and they dropped. I think I mentioned before, like your son had a placemat for Cars that is a character that's not in the films.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, oh, this character doesn't work, get him out of there.
Yeah.
But what that movie does have, and it's clear where their emphasis was, is it is incredibly beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like the scene shots of the different cities that they go into, even the bathroom scene where he's in there, the bubbles look real.
Francesco's a pretty awesome character.
He's a fun character. Oh, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying that they worked at it really hard. But the problem that they had since, I think, the beginning, the conception of the film, was that they switched the stars and made the sidekick, the comic relief, your hero, and that's a direct-to-DVD movie.
Yeah.
And I'll never understand why or who thought that was going to work.
Yep.
Had they made it the relationship between Owen Wilson and Mater, that would have worked. Owen Wilson and Mater. Owen Wilson and Larry the Cable
Maybe that's
Guy.
That's a real problem. Nobody can buy Owen Wilson as Lightning McQueen. They keep hearing Owen Wilson.
And the first 5 minutes
of that
movie...
That guy from Bottle Rocket.
What's his deal? The first 5 minutes of that movie is all just justification. Yep, we remember that other movie happened. That's not happening in this movie. Okay, remember that guy? Yeah, he died in real life. He's not in this movie.
Yeah.
And the lady interest, she exists, but she's not in this movie. Okay, and now this is this movie. Moving on.
And we're in Japan.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why are we in Japan? I don't understand. But all of this has been an excellent primer to Cars Land, which is all I wanted to talk about, which is rated AO for awesome always. Oh, wait.
Opulently?
Octopus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you gone yet? The awesome. No.
You haven't had a chance?
I haven't had a chance, yeah.
Where were you?
I was celebrating my son's birthday.
How'd that go?
Yeah, it's all right. You got too much crap.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Made a lot of money, though. That's good. I like it when people give money, not gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to write you a check, by the way.
No.
So Cars Land, I actually posted a couple pictures on our Facebook wall. On Monday. Yeah, they look great. It looks great. We were there Monday, so it had opened officially on Friday. We were there Monday, and it was, as you would imagine, super frickin' packed. But it looks fantastic. Like, it's so great. Buena Vista Street, which I was actually more excited for than Cars Land, is strangely a bit of a letdown. When you walk in, you don't really notice that anything's different. But when you leave, you get a much better sense of, like, the 1940s Art Deco. It's weird. I don't know. Maybe it's just my perception. I'd love to hear other people's opinion on it. But when I left into downtown Disney, you could see the Art Deco a lot more. On the way in, it was pretty plastic. But Cars Land is like walking on the set of a cartoon show. Like, it you feel like you're actually within Cars. In Radiator Springs, they do such a great job of kind of blocking out California Adventure around you. The ride is incredible. It's the best ride I've ever been on.
Is it like one of the, like, Star Tours kind of?
It's like the test track ride in Epcot Center. So you begin with like a little stroll through the park, through Radiator Springs. Then you go into downtown Radiator Springs again, which, even though it's back behind you in the area, it's also there. But it's great. And the cars are there. The animatronics look fantastic. You get to drive through town, do a couple little scenes. And then you race another vehicle. You race another set of
people.
And you go through. I mean, it's awesome. You're going like 50 miles per hour in a convertible on this track. I mean, you're flying around. It's great. It's pretty. It may be 40 to 50, but you're up there. And it's a great track. You're going up and down. You're banking turns and stuff. It's incredible. It's long. It's about 6 minutes.
But you don't
long.
Have control of the car.
No. And then it ends, and then you're done. But it's a fantastic, fantastic ride. Oh, crap, I had a really great buzzer for all of that. Oh, no.
What was your rating for Cars Land?
A. Oh, that's it. Thanks. Nice. This is why we're a team. E for excellent.
Yeah.
When I left, I thought, this is the first time ever I thought that when my son was a little older, I thought of Jacob, your son, that I would actually maybe take them to California Adventure before taking them to Disneyland for the first time because of Cars Land. I thought, well, this finally, California Adventure is starting to look like a Disney park.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Disneyland's great, but I'm like, the right kid would be like, there's a chance for me to meet Cars and to go see the Cars. We're going to California Adventure first.
Yeah, let's knock that out.
Yeah.
Good times.
This has been rated M for mildly entertaining.
Give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. Please keep sharing your favorite episode. Go to secondfunniestpodcast.com, click on your favorite episode. Right underneath it has share this. It'll share it on your Facebook wall to all your friends, or you can email your favorite episodes to your friends who don't have Facebook because they like to tweet. Please, please keep spreading the word. On behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying,
oh, my.